Well, I want us to do a story this morning. Just many of you, you know, we used to do stories together when I was here, and this is going to be a short story because don't want to keep you guys here all morning. We'd hate for the Methodists to be just all the good places to eat. Let me open it up in a word of prayer, and then I'll give you some little background to what's going on before this story. Hey, Lord, I thank you for giving the opportunity to come and see so many old friends and opportunity to make some new ones. And, Lord, it's great to bring folks up to speed. But now, Lord, the important stuff is happening. As we open your word, just pray, Lord, that your word would just dig into our hearts and just allow your word to impact us through the power of your Spirit. For it's in your Son's name we pray. Amen. In this story, there's a guy named Uzziah who was king, and he served as the king of Israel for 52 years. And while under his reign, Israel had tremendous military and economic blessings. Spiritually, they kind of started going down the tubes a little bit. But King Uzziah was a godly guy. He loved the Lord. Didn't do everything right, but during his reign, the nation experienced about as many blessings as they had through any king. The guy writing this is Isaiah, and he was a prophet to Israel. And so you can only imagine what it would have been like to be prophet with one person ruling and reigning all that time. There's some creatures in this story called seraphim. And they are, from what we can see in Scripture, they are a particular type of angel that have to do with the worship of God, being right in God's presence all the time. And there's a term, the Lord of Hosts, which is just that he's the Lord of the heavenly armies. All right? And so that's all the stuff we have before God's Word. So here's our story from God's Word. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord. He was high and lifted up and seated on a throne. And the train of his robe, it filled the temple. And above him stood seraphim. Each one had six wings. With two he covered his face. And with two he covered his feet. And with two he flew. And one called to another and said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is filled with His glory." And at the sound of the seraph's voice, the foundation of the temple shook, and the room, it was filled with smoke. Then I said, "Woe is me, I am doomed, because I'm a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips, and my eyes, they have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." And that's our story from God's Word. Right? Now, what I want to get you guys to do is I want you to kind of help me retell this story. Right? So this is one of those opportunities. I know for us Baptists, it's going to be really uncomfortable. Think of it like a business meeting. It's the one opportunity Baptists have to speak. Right? And so think of this story like a business meeting. You're allowed to speak back. Out loud. Okay? So help me retell this story. So in the year that King Uzziah, what happened to him? Yeah, he died. I saw... Who? I saw the Lord, and He was seated in what? Yeah, a throne, and it was what? High and lifted up, and there was something... Yeah, the train of His robe, it filled the temple. And then above Him stood those weird guys. But yeah, the seraphim. And how many wings did they have? What were they doing with them? Yeah, with two they flew. And one, he called to another, and he said something three times. Is The Lord of hosts, the whole earth is what? Filled with His glory. And at the sound of the seraph's voice, what happened? The foundation of the temple shook and the room was filled with smoke. And Isaiah said, wow, that is really neat. I got to see God. No? What was Isaiah said? I am doomed because my eyes have seen the Lord, the King, the Lord of hosts. And I am a man of living among a people of unclean lips. Well, I'm curious. Now, this is going to be hard for us as Americans to imagine because it's been a while. You know, we have had so many differences between us as a nation over politicians, right? And so I don't want this to become a political debate, but I wonder what it was like for Isaiah to have had one king for 52 years with all these blessings that have happened on the nation, and all of a sudden, he's gone. I mean, what might that have been like emotionally? What do you think? Is that part you can talk back? Okay, what's next? Yeah. Kind of fearful of the future. Huh, that's good. Somebody else, what do you think it might have been like for Isaiah emotionally? Yeah, what am I going to write about now? Yeah. Probably had confidence he's going to be a politician. I'm going to write about something. Fear. Yeah. Yeah, a time of, man, we have had stability and now, what's going to happen next? Well, let's look at the first part of this story. So in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord seated on a throne, high and lifted up. The train of His robe filled the temple, and above Him were seraphim. Each one had six wings. With two He covered His face, with two He covered His feet, with two He flew, and one called to another and said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is filled with His glory. And at the sound of the seraph's voice, the foundation of the temple shook, and the room was filled with smoke. I wonder what we might learn about God from the fact that in this year when this king, this foundational king, this established king had been taken away in death, He revealed Himself to Isaiah. I mean, might that tell us something about God? Does it seem to indicate to you that God is showing concern for Isaiah? Because like we said, he might have been fearful. He might have been wondering, wow, what's next? And yet, God said, yeah. And now what had happened to Uzziah? Died. I wonder if do you see a contrast between the God sitting on the throne with angels talking about Him and the dead king? I mean, what might we learn there? Do you see a contrast? Do you see any difference there between the dead king and the Lord? One's not dead. Alive forevermore. Wow. In control. Huh. I wonder how that may have affected Isaiah. Faith. Yeah. Helping to deal with the fear and the doubt. You know, I find something curious as well. It describes God in just a really powerful way, right? And these creatures. I mean, these are some of the strangest critters in all the Bible, right? I mean, every time I read about this, I'm going, wow, six wings. And with two, they covered their face. Was there any sin in heaven at this point? No? God's holy. So no sin. But they covered their face in the presence of God. No sin. But they covered their face. And they covered their feet. I wonder what that might teach us about God. Reverence. But these are holy angels. I mean, it's not like they're us, you know, who have this sin nature that they have to fight. They're holy. And yet, wow, still created, they're not God. So again, showing the contrast. Right? And then what the angel, and by the way, I love to do this. This is where I usually like to embarrass all the musicians. So the angel sang, "Holy, holy, holy." Is that what the story says? No, one called to another. So all worship doesn't have to be music. Right? Worship is awesome. I mean, music is awesome. It's fantastic. My son just finished an album that's going to be out soon. We're really, really pumped about it. But I harass him all the time. That's a form of worship. It's not where they called one to another. Holy, holy, holy. So apparently all these seraphims stutter. Right? Say something. Holy, holy, holy. Is that what you see there? Say something three times like that? I mean, what might we learn about God from what they did? Emphasizing His holiness. Right? Anything else stand out, somebody? A declaration. Yeah, of who He is. And what happened as a result of this declaration? Foundation of the temple shook. Now, whose voice brought that about? Let's listen to the story. Right? At the sound of the seraph's voice, the foundation. When I did this story the first time, I went, "Whoa, look at what that says." So is it God's voice or the seraph's voice? And what's this? What will we call what the seraph is doing? Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is filled with His glory. Recognizing God? Right? Worship? So what might we learn about the power of worship through what happens to this to the temple? Wow. That's good stuff right there. And it says the whole earth is filled. Does it say the whole earth will be filled? The whole earth might be filled? Does it say part of the earth is filled? What's it say? The whole earth is filled. Yeah, that's a question. You're driving in this morning. I was listening to what everybody was saying up here. I said, "I'm paying attention." Oh, it's so good of you guys to come out on such a nasty day. I was at Rupp Arena last night, dropping people off and picking people up. I'm Ubering now when I'm in town, just because my wife wants me out of the house as much as possible. And it was rainy and cold, but I think there were 20-something thousand people there to watch a basketball game. Right? Even though it was nasty. Now, when you drove in this morning when it was nasty and cold, did you go, "Wow, look at that. Look at that. The whole earth is filled with His glory." Anybody have that thought? But is that true? But if we didn't have that thought and it's true, where's the problem lie there? Now, I love Isaiah's response. You know, Isaiah sees God. I don't think God was his homeboy in this case, right? He says, "Woe is me. I am doomed because I am a man of unclean lips. I live among a people of unclean lips. And my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." He recognized, when he saw God, he recognized who he was. But you notice he didn't blame it on everybody else. He just went, yeah, I mean, how easy is it if everybody around you is cussing? How easy is it for you to cuss and not paying attention to it? Right? If everybody around you is saying this is okay, well, yeah, okay, well, I guess it is. I mean, we all do that, right? And yet Isaiah went, I'm doomed because he's holy and I'm not. You know, I wonder today, is the fact that God is on the throne, I mean, does that still impact us today, bring us, does that still offer peace and contentment today? Does that still happen today? In fact, he's eternal, he's in control. What are some kind of circumstances that could bring us peace? The fact that God's still there. Yeah, amen. Yeah. It's not the Republicans, not the Democrats. Praise you, God. It's God. Anybody here ever have a leader that left that you really liked and you're like, man, this is going to be awesome. I mean, we're going to go to great places, and all of a sudden they're gone. And I mean, does that still happen today? Any place you can think of? You know, just a very rhetorical type question. Is the church about this? The church about that? You know, God sends great, great leaders, great pastors as a blessing. But so often Satan turns right around when something happens there, and he tries to take that blessing and turn it into a curse. Rather than something that can be built on, it ends up being used as something for destruction. So I would challenge you guys, like, wow, okay, didn't want that to happen. You know, I liked Mike mostly. Mike's a good friend, so I can harass him. And I'd talk bad about him in front of him, not just behind his back. But, you know, God's got a call on his life. It's okay. God's got a call on the church's life, right? And we're okay. God's still on the throne. That's not changing. And so if our faith is in a man, then we're in a world of hurt. But if our faith is in God, then we can do whatever it is that God's called us to do. Now, just before we stop, I want to tell you something. I'm about to blow your mind, so I hope you're seated. I hope you're seated firmly in your seat. You know, a lot of times what comes up in the discussion, we'll say, holy, 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 people. Oh, the Trinity. Talking about the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And I believe in this passage you can even see some of that, because John the disciple, in the Gospel of John, he writes later on in that Gospel about this passage. And this is what he says in the Gospel of John. Isaiah spoke of Jesus, whom he saw and wrote about. And he's speaking specifically of this passage in Isaiah 6. Now let me ask you a question. How does that change your picture of God seated on a throne, high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filling the temple? It's not God the Father. It's God the Son. And if you want to look that up later, that's in John chapter 12, verse 41. Just so you can see, I'm not pulling a rabbit out of the hat. You know, I would encourage you. All of us have things in life that happen we don't choose, we don't like, right? Sickness, death, loss, jobs, health, whatever it might be. We all have it. And we call that life. And Satan, he loves to get in those little crevices, right? And he kind of weasels his way in there and go, well, if God was in control, then this wouldn't... Well, this isn't the end. This is just part of the journey. The end doesn't end. The end is eternal, right? And so when Satan does those things, fight him back with this. Picture God on a throne. Picture Christ seated on that throne in all His glory. And then look around. Some mornings it's harder to see the glory of the Lord around us, right? Especially in wintertime in Kentucky. But it's there. Not necessarily in nature. You know, I got to hold a newborn baby just a little bit ago. Wow. Wasn't the homeliest baby I've ever held. Mom and Daddy here, I'm going to get beat up outside as soon as we're done. You know, what a beautiful, just the innocence, the beauty. I mean, just wow. How can you hold a newborn baby and not experience the glory of God, right? This morning, my granddaughter climbed up in my lap at the house before I left and was letting me hold her for about 33 seconds. And it was awesome. And I was reminded of the glory of God, the blessing, the gift. Look for God's glory around your life. Don't just settle for the doom and the gloom and the gray. I mean, it's there, right? That's there. But that just makes the glory of God shine that much brighter. But you know, the real glory of God is in the person of His Son, Jesus Christ. And if you never accepted Jesus, not just as an historical figure, somebody who was, somebody maybe who even is, but if you've not accepted Him as the Savior of your life, the one who can forgive you of your sin and provide eternal life, man, what better time? What better time than today? Let's pray. Father God, we thank You so much for Your Word. I thank You, Lord, for the power that's in Your Word. I thank You, Lord, that it's got nothing to do with how we deliver it or what we say about it or what cute illustrations we may or may not have, but, Lord, simply the fact that Your Word is eternal. Lord, all of us here have gone through loss. All of us here have things in our life we're not crazy about. And if we don't have it going on right now, we will at some point, because this isn't heaven. And I pray, Lord, that the vision of who You are and that the glory that You have gifted us with in Your creation, Lord, that would stand out to us in those times. That when we have those times of doubt and of fear, that we would turn to You and remember who You are and remember whose we are. And I just ask, Lord, is there even one here that does not know You, that this might be the day. This might be the day that they come to faith in Christ. For in Your Son's name we pray. Amen. Let's all stand.